And please pray with me. Loving God, we humble ourselves before you as those you have called to care for your creation. Guide us, Lord, by your Spirit as we continue to nurture the seeds of faith that lie within us. And may the meditation of my heart and mind be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I once read on a blog this little passage about farming, and I wanted to share it. It says, "Farming is the great liturgy of faith which country folk enact each season." You know, there was a man in my first call congregation in Pflugerville, Texas, and I know he's passed now. His name was Lamar Pfluger, and he was one of the founding families of the city of Pflugerville, and had a huge, massive fields near the church, which his family had owned for centuries. And he was very proud of his land. And I, you know, as I'm driving around, visiting people, whatever, I'd always see him on the tractor, and he'd be out there doing what farmers do at all day long. And in the Texas heat, you know, he hated any kind of chemicals on his skin, so he wouldn't wear any sunscreen or anything. So he always looked like he was sunburnt to me. And so Lamar was on the call committee that got me to that church. And he used to say that the most important thing that we do as a church is evangelism, to speak to others about our church and about who God is. And a strong church is going to be the church that can manifest that among its members so that they are spreading the gospel. He was very passionate about that. And I respected Lamar for his ideas. He had these crazy ideas for things we should do as a church, but I loved his imagination. And he would just come up with these crazy things. Oh, we got to try this. We got to try doing this. We got to try. I was trying to keep up with him most of the time, because this is a guy that was in his 70s and he's still running around like he's a teenager. But I loved Lamar, and I miss him dearly. You know, if I'm being honest, I, unlike Lamar, I struggle to grow anything. I typically kill more things than I actually grow them. I do not have a green thumb, but I try. I've got a plant that's still struggling right now in my office, and I've got some at home that I'm sort of, I don't know if it's dying or trying to come back, but yeah, I know peace plants typically, they can die and come back on a dime, it seems like. But, you know, and then I was out messing with my my garden beds in the front. My lawn care service hasn't been trimming them, so I got really frustrated. And I, you know, contacted my landlord, and I said, "Hey, you know, how come the lawn guys aren't trimming the garden beds?" And she said, "Oh, well, that's your responsibility." And I'm like, "My responsibility?" So I go out there with my phone, because I have my mom on the phone. Now, my mom is the opposite. She can grow anything. And in the back of her kitchen is like a wall of all kinds of plants that she has that she cares for. And she eventually puts them all outside. So my point is that even though I can't grow something, my mom certainly can. We have to think about the seeds that lie within us. And I think that sometimes when you see a small tree or small seed, you don't think about the tree that it's going to become. You know, even though an acorn is only about the size of a quarter, as you've seen around here, there's lots of greenery that grows. And it goes and goes and goes. It was one of the houses that I lived in Ohio. I had a huge tree that had to be about 6 feet across in the base. It was massive. I was always scared during a storm that tree was going to fall on my house, because it was adjacent on one side of the driveway. And it sort of split the yard between me and my neighbor. But I was noticing that part of my fence in the back, which was probably about 500 feet away or more from that tree, was starting to tip over. So I go over and I see that the I see a big root coming out of the ground. And so I was like, there's no trees or anything nearby. There's no bushes or anything. And so I was like, this is crazy. This can't be a root from that big tree. I was determined to find out the source of the tree, of this root. And so I just started, you know, with a little pickaxe, was just following the root. And it actually wound a bit, and it was from the tree that was really far away from that fence. And my point is this, though. You know, we don't think about, we see a beautiful tree, and we don't think about the root system that is underneath and how far they can spread. A few months ago, I was talking about documentary that I saw on Netflix, you know, called Fantastic Fungi, and the documentary shows how connected everything is underground, and how trees connect with fungus that grows under the trees, and mushrooms and everything popping up is a result of the root system that lies underneath. And they go for miles and miles and miles. And so every time I see a tree, I think about, what does that root system look like? How far does it go? Oh, how deep does it go? And so this parable today is a reminder of a few things, but I think it has a lot to do with reminding us of our roots. And the question that we should be asking ourselves is, is your faith rooted like the vines of and the roots of a large tree? So most of the beginning of Mark's gospel actually tells us parable after parable about one of three things: seeds, soil, or plants. And I think that's intentional for us to think about the plants and seeds that we sow within our own community and certainly within our own faith life. This particular parable, the parable of the four soils is what it's called, I think is a reminder of our own organic spiritual growth. You know, Jesus was not unfamiliar with insecurity and instability, and it was not uncommon for a harvest to go bad. It was very common, you know, and sometimes when they went to take the harvest in, there wasn't much there, largely because of the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire oftentimes would go in, and even though they had already, you know, harvested everything from the fields, the Roman government would go in and often take it from them, and leaving them oftentimes a very little to survive for a season. Now, we all know that you probably won't get a knock on your front door from government officials saying, we need to take everything you've got to eat. And we most of us don't live in that kind of fear. But in the time of Jesus, that was a reality, that they sometimes would have to figure out, how am I going to survive this season? What do I need to do to be able to survive? Well, I think for us, this parable is a reminder of the roots and the soil that we have to do, that we have work to do. And what I mean by that is, you can't just plant a seed and ignore it, right? If you plant a seed, you typically have got to water it. Sometimes you got to give it plant food. You might need to move it around to a different location. You know, I say all these things, and I hardly remember to do them when I'm around my plant for some reason. But it requires nurturing, right? In order for something to grow, it has to be nurtured. It has to be cared for. And if we are unwilling or unable to do that, then what happens to the plant if you don't do those things? It dies. And so what's to say that if we do not nurture our own faith, if we don't care for the seeds that we plant deep within, what happens? Can your faith life dwindle and die? Yes, it can, which is why we encourage you to be present in church which is why we encourage you to read scripture, which is why we encourage you to be a part of Bible studies. Why? Because all those things help to nurture and care for the faith roots that are already within. So there are some people's roots that might be able to reach from here to Knoxville. And then there are other people's roots that might just be very shallow, just barely in the ground and about to fall over. Why? Well, when you plant something in like my flower beds I'm seeing right now, even though I didn't plant a thing in there, I was waiting to see what sprouted up this spring. There are plenty of weeds. And I've got one weed that is like almost 3 feet tall that I got to pull out today. And I was waiting till I got my gardening tools. I had to order some stuff. But when we don't care for the area in which we planted, what grows up instead? Weeds. And nobody likes weeds in the garden beds and in the garden, right? No. They've got to be plucked up so that whatever you planted can thrive, right? Flourish and thrive so that it can become vibrant. You don't want weeds in the garden beds where your flowers are, where they choke the plant, right? The weeds of the roots of the weeds oftentimes will choke the plant. And so you got to take that stuff out. Well, one of the things that I saw in the garden bed when I was out there with my app was I got a black cherry tree in the garden bed. I'm like, where'd that come from? Well, I want to move it, though, so get it out of the garden bed so that it can thrive and I can care for it better. Well, I'm going to try, not killing it. But anyway, so my point is this, is that sometimes in our own lives, we have weeds that pop up all around us that keep us from being fully rooted in our faith. What do I mean by that? We see someone who is hungry and begging for food, and we ignore it. We say, somebody else will take care of that problem. I don't want to deal with that. We see somebody in pain who is crying, and instead of offering a listening ear or a hug or a touch, we walk away and say, that's somebody else's problem. That's a weed. That's a weed. Or we see someone who maybe you haven't seen in a long time at church, and you don't remember their name, so you're embarrassed and you don't want to go up to them and not know their name. So you just sort of ignore them and walk the other way. That's a weed. Why not walk up to them and say, hey, I know you go to my church, but I can't remember your name. I'm so sorry. You know how many times I've said that? It's okay. Folks, the reality is that Satan is always at work, always trying to block obstacles for us and creating obstacles for us. He doesn't want our roots deeper. Satan doesn't want us to thrive and grow. We allow those things into our lives when we focus, when our focus shifts to something that is not of God. And we have a stake in our own faith life. And why is that important? Because by nurturing our faith and making sure our roots go deep, then when those obstacles come, it is like flicking a little fly away. Just get off my plant. Get off my plant, Satan. You ain't coming near me right now. No, I got this. And then it's not an obstacle. So this passage is a reminder of a few things. I think it's to challenge us to sow seeds of kindness and love all around us, to sow seeds of prayer for everyone and their families and children, to sow seeds of good deeds as we go around places of business or eating establishments and the like, to sow seeds in our own lives that will enable us to live an abundant life. You know, it's not a mistake that the longest season of the church year is green, the color green. What does green represent? Growth, life, abundance, right? Even our carpet's green. I mean, we have green all over the church, and that is intentional. It's to remind us of the abundant life that God desires for us all, made possible when our faith is deeply rooted. And so this week, I want to challenge you all to look at your own garden beds in your life. Cut out those weeds that you need to get rid of so that your plant, your garden beds thrive. My brothers and sisters, if we are unwilling to nurture what God has given us, then our faith will die. We must nurture it. And so I encourage us all to think about where are you planted? Are you rooted in this church? If you are, remove those weeds and dig deeper so that your roots branch out. Invite others to come to our church. Be present at congregational events. And always remember that you do not till those things alone, that God is with you through it all. Amen.